Good morning, everyone. I'm delighted to be here this morning. I was here for the 9 o'clock service and has truly been blessed to be among you this morning, worshiping and giving praise to God. I am humbled to be here, like I've shared at the 9:30 service, because as I consider, you could have called upon millions of other people to be here this morning. But somehow I got that call that says, Janet, we would like for you to come back and do a sermon. And as I shared before, I can reflect on, I paused, because as my friend Mary Waters called, I said, a sermon? I do presentations, never done a sermon in my life. But then I heard that little voice, and I quickly said yes, because I made a promise to God a long time ago, that if I'm ever called to do anything to uplift his name, I will say yes. And if I'm ever called to do anything to make a difference in the life of someone, I will always say yes, and then I will worry about how he's going to equip me. So I'm here this morning before you, and I'm asking you to pray for me and pray with me as I present this sermon to you. This is my first sermon, and so just pray for me. Sometimes I say we have to be very careful what we promise and what we ask for, because, you know, my saying every morning as I get up, I go to the gym, and then I come home, and I always say, Lord, use me today. Use me. Put me in the path of someone and use me. And sometimes we forget that we say those words very loosely, but God's listening, and he will use you, as he called upon me today. And so I am thankful that he has given me words, and I pray that someone will be blessed this morning. So before we start, let us pray. Precious Jesus, lover of my soul, Father, hide me behind your cross. And Lord, help me that the words that I speak this morning is from on high, dear Father God. We pray, dear Lord, that you will open our minds and our intellect, dear Lord, that we can hear when you speak, dear Father. We pray, dear Lord, that you will teach us how to trust you and to have faith in you, dear Lord, knowing that with you all things are possible. Father, we pray to you, dear Lord, that you'll help us to have peace over all circumstances. And we love you and we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my sermon this morning is, You Have a Purpose. God has a plan for your life. Having special needs or a disability can make life challenging. It is hard work between getting the new diagnosis, the busy schedule of going to therapies, sleepless nights, the fighting with the insurance, dealing with the different mood swings, behavior meltdowns, and at times feeling quite isolated and alone from the rest of the world. Frankly, it can be very difficult to even want to spend time reading the Bible or spending time in God's Word when you're hurting. But nevertheless, your life has a purpose and God has a plan for your life. Before I proceed, let me just acknowledge that we all are disabled in some way. You know, just the need for eyeglasses is an indication of an impairment in vision. Some of us have diabetes and some of us have arthritis and some of us have bipolar disorder, autism spectrum disorders, Tourette's syndrome, anxiety, and we could go on and on. You see, no, not one of us are perfect, but nevertheless, you have a purpose and God has a plan for your life. Over my 25 years as a special educator, I have worked with many families and children and adults with varying disabilities. Some had limited speech, challenges with social awareness, behavior meltdowns, challenges with mood regulation, inability to walk or move their limbs, and so much more. But what I remember most are the smiles and the innocence and the funny phrases and the affection and simply the look without a word. And all of those have brought me joy on so many occasions. See, my life has been blessed by my interactions with those with a disability. I have learned to be more patient, to be more loving, to be more compassionate, to be more empathetic, and most of all, I have learned to be content in my life. Most certainly, I have learned that my life has a purpose, and God has a plan for my life. As I reflect on my interactions over the years, from working in Boston, Massachusetts, to Florida, to Pennsylvania, to South Africa, and then to Georgia, and then back to Georgia again. Working with so many families and children impacted with a disability, I have been brought to tears on many occasions, not knowing really what the strategies are and, you know, all the intellect that you could have and all of the education. Sometimes it gets daunting and it gets difficult. And so you're brought to tears because you want to be able to support and help. I have been forced to reflect on my life, and I have laughed, and most certainly I have been blessed. There are three students that I will share just briefly with you of all the many, many students that I have interacted with over my 25-plus years. There are three students that I'm going to share briefly with you. The young boy, 7 years old, diagnosed with autism spectrum disorders. 1 minute he's filled with laughter and very bouncy and running around and playing. And in a split second, he's engaged in a full meltdown. But I'm here to tell you the things that are lasting for me is the compassion he displays when things are going well. The laughter and the love and the hugs and his unique interests warms my heart. A young boy, 10 years old, with a significant social skill deficit, who found it quite disturbing when I prompted him to say hi or goodbye when he encountered others, or to hold the door for someone who was passing by, or even to say excuse me to someone who was standing in his way. This would typically result into screaming or refusal to comply, or even an argument of why he needed to do this. But I'm happy to report to you that with patience and with love and with consistency, this young boy is now greeting others. Even a few weeks ago, his sister gave me a hug, and typically it's very difficult for this young man to receive and to give affection, but his sister gave me a hug, and as she's giving me a hug, I felt little hands around my waist, and he too gave me a hug, and I looked up and I said, "Thank you, Jesus." I whispered, because of all the number of times that you prompted and you tried, but it brought my heart such joy to know that he can learn, and he made the connection, and that was beautiful. The 17-year-old young woman in a wheelchair with no speech and unable to move her limbs. But as I inquired about her, because she was a new student at the school I was visiting, her smile and her eyes said it all. I still vividly remember the beautiful expression on her face, and it's something that I will never forget. You see, my students over the years have taught me so many valuable lessons. True happiness is possible even if you have a disability. Patience can get you through anything. Don't sweat the small things. Life is short. Embrace everyone and everything. Enjoy, count your blessings, because someone else's challenges is greater than yours. When we receive a diagnosis of ourselves, for ourselves, or for our loved ones, it can be devastating and difficult not to blame ourselves. You see, we immediately start to question what we did wrong. We question our parenting styles. We start thinking of a host of other things. We try to understand how we could have prevented the disability from taking place. We even sometimes question God and trying to ask him, why does he allow people to be disabled? But I'm here to tell you that you did nothing wrong. You see, John 16:33 tells us that in this life we will have trials and tribulations. But praise God, he died on Calvary's cross that we may be able to overcome the challenges that we'd face in this life. God is sovereign over all he created. And the Bible teaches that every person conceived in this world is a unique creation of God. Nevertheless, you have a purpose, and God has a plan for your life. There is a great song from Laura's story called Blessings, if you've never heard it. The words are profound, and it will bring you to your knees, and I encourage you to go and listen to it. And it asks a very profound question. What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Think about that for a minute. Sometimes that can help us to answer the questions that we have. All challenges are an opportunity to glorify God. God's strength is perfect in all weakness. He has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he will supply all of our needs, not some, but all of them. God has called us to cast all of our cares on him, and he has promised to never give us more than we can bear. All we must do is to learn to trust him in all things. You see, Jeremiah 29:11 reminds us the plans that God has for us. And it reads, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace to give you an expected end." God does not just need human might or skills to accomplish his work. He can also use those with a disability. Let us look at a few more Bible verses that will provide peace and hope as we learn to trust and lean on Jesus. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's be encouraged and despite our shortcomings, and God will give us strength. Psalms 139:14. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Be encouraged. And let this verse serve as a reminder that God created you, and he knows all about your struggles, and he knows all about your pain. You see, as a church and as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to a higher standard to help those with a disability, to help those who are in need. And so let us look at a few things that, as the church, the body of Christ, how can we help? First, we must understand the needs. Before we can minister to someone who is affected by a disability, we must understand his or her needs. An inclusive church is an understanding church. It begins with learning the details of each person's story and accepting them regardless of their physical or intellectual disability. Remember that God created each person with a unique design. So ask questions and listen. Don't be afraid. Be interested. Provide opportunities. See, God's intention is for everyone in the body of Christ to be fully included. All of God's children have been given gifts and abilities and should be encouraged and expected to use them through service. Provide encouragement. One of the most powerful means of ministering to families or a person affected with a disability is encouragement. God has called us to encourage and build up one another. Bear one another's burdens and is a way of fulfilling the law of love by Christ. Your encouragement can redefine a person's sense of belonging and God's plan for their life. Network for services. Support comes in many forms, and there are significant resources right within this very church that can help parents and those with a disability. So let's look at the resources that you have and pull them together and reach out to those families. Whether it's finances, support groups, whether it's counselors or therapists, and so much more. And lastly, train for service. Churches that welcome families, individuals affected with a disability, need to be a church willing to learn. And I commend you today because you have demonstrated in so many ways that you are a church who's willing to learn. And I will tell you that you're doing a great thing. And I just love what I'm seeing. In closing, we are commissioned to find grace in our brothers and sisters who are affected with a disability. Families, individuals need an anchor to help them, to help steady them. They need support and love from their church family to understand God's grace and purpose in their child's or their disability. Let us ask God to help us to be that caring friend, to be a lifeline to those who often feel isolated and alone. Let us ensure that they feel like they matter, like they belong. I want you to remember that all lives have a purpose, and God has a plan for our lives. I would like to close with my favorite memory text. It's taken from James 1, 2-4. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Let the testing of your faith produce endurance. And let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. When we have God in our lives, we truly lack nothing. Sometimes we forget, but if we go back to His Word and if we keep talking to Him, we will truly realize in this life, if we have Him, we have everything. And so if you are hurting today, if you're feeling isolated and alone, if you feel like you can't go on, if you feel that God does not hear your cry, I want you to make that commitment with me today to count it all joy. Even in your darkest moments, count it all joy and watch and see what God will do in your life. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, Lord, we are thankful that we have an opportunity to honor and glorify your name this morning, Father. We thank you for all of the beautiful singing and just for everyone who's gathered here, dear Lord, showing a commitment, dear Lord, to bearing one another's burdens. And Father, we pray that you would teach us your ways and you will help us to stand in the gap for one another so that others may see you in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.